I believe this is where I ended up last week, but I want to go over it one more time before I go on to the rest of the scriptures I have here. Joshua 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, verse 8. This book, what book? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success, right? When we know that the word of God in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20, 21 says that life and death's in the power of the tongue, right? He said this word, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. What are you speaking? What are you praying? What are you meditating on? So often we get to a place in time, I believe, where we read a scripture, but we don't read a scripture. You know, it's like I read the scripture, but did I really read the scripture? If I went to the book of Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 6, it tells me that my people are destroyed. Think about that. Destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Timothy then in turn tells you to study to show thyself approved. Well, if I'm doing that, and then Romans 10:17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the word of God. You want to know why your faith level is not to be? It's because you're not putting the word of God into your spirit. You're not putting it into your spirit man. You may be feeding your natural man and your muscles are getting all up there and everything. But guess what? If you're not feeding your spiritual man, you are making him anemic. He has no iron. When people go someplace and they're going to pray, they say, now I lay me down to sleep prayer. Whereas before he said in the book of Luke back 10, he said, I gave you authority over the power of the enemy. But if you don't exercise the authority you have, then the enemy still has the power that he needs against you. He still has the power he needs against your children. He has the power he needs against your finances. He has the power that he needs to destroy what it is you're committing to him. But you see, as Christians, he gave you the whole armor of God, didn't he? And he said to take up the shield of faith and, just a little term, take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, whereby you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. You are the priest of your household. You are the priest. He's called you to be a priest. If your children are going through something, it's because you have not exercised sometimes your right as the priest. I didn't think you'd be a shouter tonight. I'm having fun. Don't worry about me. I'm all right. You see, the thing we need to realize is when we come to this situation, you know, the Word of God said, he said, put the blood over the doorpost and on the sides. Why? Then the death angel cannot enter therein, right? The Word of God tells you to whom you submit yourself, to him you become a servant, right? You know, whose servant are you tonight? Listen, if I look around, I know a lot of people that can quote me this word. I know a lot of people that used to go to church. I know a lot of people that used to go to Sunday school. I know a lot of people that used to sing in the choir. I know a lot of people that used to. But you know, used to don't get it. Used to is the past tense, and now we need to be in the present because the Word of God said, now faith is. When? Now faith is. We've come to a place and time where God's calling together an army to do battle, not an army to set on our laurels or whatever you want to call it. But you see, so often Christians would rather let somebody else do it. But yet in the book of Mark, chapter 16, it says the believer. You know, and I read a little verse the other night and I pondered that verse. And I looked at that verse, and I reread that verse, and I reread that verse, and I reread that verse. And that verse said, what must I do that I might work the works of God? And then I thought, the next verse said, I have to believe. I said, is that all I got to do is believe? You know, I got to rely on, I got to trust, I got to have full confidence that if Ecky, he had to sit there, if Ecky needed something, I have to have full confidence in my relationship with my God, that when I walk over and I lay my hands, you see, I've got to have the confidence that when I reach up here to get a hold of something, to bring it down to here, to then we'll touch Ecky, I've got to have the confidence that I can reach up there and that God will reach down here and so that I can bring it to Ecky. I don't want somebody that just comes up and, oh, now, Lord, you know, just touch him, Father. If it be your will to heal him, go ahead. Listen, if you don't know his will, keep your mouth shut. Don't speak a negative on somebody. Learn what his word said. His word said, by his stripes, Ecky was healed. His word said, whatsoever Ecky, and you happen to be sitting there, your choice, and the word says, whatsoever Ecky commits unto God, God is able to keep, right? Isn't that what he said? And he also says that when Ecky knows not how to pray, Ecky should have, like every single one of you should have the Spirit that dwells within Ecky, that when Ecky knoweth not how to pray, then the Spirit of God that dwells in Ecky can come forth and make intercession. You picked the seat, I didn't. You understand, you see, when we get to the place in time that we don't know what, God knows how. If we'll just let him flow through us. He's got to flow through us. You know, it doesn't make any difference if it's, you know, Calvin, he's quieter than me. Amen. But doesn't mean he doesn't have the same authority, the same ability dwelling inside of this. Just because he's smaller than me doesn't mean that he doesn't have as much power as I do, right? He might pray a quieter prayer than me. I'm just naturally loud. I am. You see, but you see, do you understand where I'm coming from? All I have here is one vessel, and I've got another vessel, and I've got another vessel. This vessel is different than that vessel. That vessel is different than this vessel. But every single vessel here has the same inward part that God can use, right? This vessel here might be a quieter vessel, and he might flow out here. This vessel here, he might be another vessel, and he might flow out here. Me, I just flow all over. Any place God will open a door, I'm going to flow through. Why? Because I'm loud and I'm confident. Yes, I'm very confident. I am. I'm not bragging tonight, but I am confident. I am confident. I'm not confident in me, but I am confident in the God that I serve. You know, we have sat back and can I tell you something? Whenever Jesus faced the religious leaders of the day. He looked at them and he said, "Oh, you generation of vipers." My goodness, wait a minute. He's calling the priests of the day a bunch of vipers, isn't he? You know why? Because he knew his father, and he knew what his father had committed unto him. You know, think about it. You know, if she doesn't know what her father's committed to her, then she reads the manual that tells her, "These are the things I've committed unto you until that day." Isn't that what it says? Until that day. And then he comes by and he says, and in Amos 3:7 right here, it says, he'll not do anything unless he reveal it to his prophets first. The secrets. Oh, what did he say to Paul? He said, seal up the book until the time of the end. Can I tell you, people, these things are now being revealed to us because we are in the place and time where it is the time of the end that we need to know how and what we're against. You know, when you get to the place and time where you pray, you find out what you're going against, you know. If you have, I don't know about you, but see, I know what I'm against. With my sons, I'm against the spirit of addiction. See, so that's the strong man, the spirit of addiction. You see, so I go in and I take authority over the spirit of addiction. And I release the Holy Spirit to have his way in their life. And then I go to Psalms 103, where it says, verse 20, where it says, angel that excel in strength, that hearken to the word of God. And I put them in remembrance of the fact that they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for me, because I am an heir of salvation. And it's God's will that all should be saved. So those are my children, which I've committed unto you. And you say, whatsoever I've committed unto you, you're able to keep against that day. And if I go to the book of Jeremiah, 1 and 12, he said, I hasten over my word to perform it. So I'm telling him what his word is. He's hastening over his word. Then he goes forth over his word and he performs his word. What is the performance? He said, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish whereunto I send it, and it shall prosper in that very thing. What's the prosper? If I'm praying the word for salvation, the prosperity of that word salvation means that my children will now serve God. That's prosperity in that point. If I'm praying over my pocketbook, then when the finance come to me, then that's prosperity over that situation. He said, I'll meet your needs according to my riches and glory, right? He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. Isn't that what it says? Isn't that what the word of God said? And he said, if you put me in remembrance of my word. Oh, go to 1 Kings. I'm sorry, I only got through one. Go to 1 Kings. If you got a Bible like mine, it's on page 471. Chapter 8, and verse, what one did I want? 856. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised, there hath not what? Failed. Did you get that? There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Well, listen. Now, if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if God is no respecter of persons, what he promised Moses, and I read his promises here for me, then I should be able, Stavanya should be able to stand on that word of God for your promises. Everything that you put him in remembrance of, everything that you can find in the book, every promise he said is yea, yea, and amen. Why? Because you've lined it up with thus saith the word of God. You've not lined it up with my feelings. You've not lined it up with the sun doesn't come through that window like it used to. You've not lined. You've lined it up with thus saith the word of God. So I can stand on that promise. Can't I? You know, isn't that what I can stand? Isn't that what you stand on every day when you get up in the morning? Isn't that the what you stand on? The word of God which said he's able to keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. He's able to take you through when things seem to be so much that it's just coming down and coming down and coming down. And you say, Lord, I don't know if I can handle this. He says, oh, buck up, my child. I got your back. I'll take care. Father, every spirit of infirmity, I curse it in the name of Jesus. I command that it loose its hold upon this body, my God. Lord, let there be peace. Let there be a healing, a deliverance like never. A resurrection. You see, when the promises of God are followed, when you get to that place in time that you put that promise out here and you say, Lord, you said right here. What did I say, child? You said, by your stripes, I am healed. You said you're able to keep me in perfect peace. You said that you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You said it right here. Then that's what I'll do, son. That's my promise. You see, and that's your promise. That's your promise. You see, if you believe, what must I do to work the works of God? I must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Not a acting once in a while, but those that diligently. I mean to tell you, there's sometimes in the middle of the night. You remember them nights when you had to get down and you had to cry out to God and there was nobody there but you and the Lord. You know, you didn't have anybody to get your back. You didn't have anybody to hold your hands up. You had to depend totally upon God. And when you cried out to him in the middle of the night and you thought, I'm all alone, he says, no, you're not, because I've given my angels. Chaparosa takatasa. I give my angels charge for you. Least at any time to dash your foot, I'll bear you up in my hands. You see, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You see, that's his promise. And I can stand on his promise, can I not? Can't you? If you can't stand on the promise, then you're not standing in the right place. Maybe it's time you shifted positions. You know, instead of being this position, you need to be this position so that you can come out this position. Go with me to the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7. Now you see, part of the problem is that we have not done what James 4 and 7 is calling us to do. You see, James 4 and 7 says that I should submit myself, therefore, to God. Then I can resist the devil and he will flee from me. And then we forget that very next verse which says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Oh boy, when I submit myself to God and I resist the devil and I draw nigh to God, the enemy sure doesn't want to go with me when I'm drawing nigh unto God. But in order for me to get where I need to be, where God is, I've got to cleanse my hands. ye sinners, and I've got to purify my heart, and I've got to forget my double-mindedness, and I've got to be of one mind and one accord, and keeping myself pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God. I cannot back away. I've got to keep pushing, not sitting around. You see, when you are going to get from God, you're going to have to give something to God. And what God wants is you. If you'll give Him you, then He will give Him. Then He will give you what you're praying for. Is my other half making fun of me tonight? Oh.
Oh, no, I see it.
How is it, Sister Paula, when you sit in my chair? What do you sense? You see, listen, where you choose to dwell, where you choose to dwell, you choose to dwell in the presence of God. And when you choose to dwell in His presence, then He comes to be where you are. Why? Because drawing nigh unto Him, then He draws nigh unto you. Eki, there's not a thing you're going through today that God can't say to you. You see where A is? I'm taking you to C. You're even going to skip B because I've got something else in store for you at C, and I don't want you stopping at B. Because you're Shabahito Kosata, and no, no, Hitatala, Eshadereble, Brita Talala Hatata. You see, we need to come to that place that we draw. You know what I mean by draw? You know, back where I come from, we used to have a thing called a pump. No, that was the bucket full of water sitting beside it. And you took that prime and you began to pour it in. Pour. And while you were pouring it, you couldn't just stand there. You had a hold of the handle and you had to start pumping because when the prime went down. And when it touched, it's coming out. Why? Because you touched the source. You see, when you prime your relationship with God, when you get to the place where you touch the source of the flow of the Spirit of God, and it wells up inside of you, oh, Sister Pat, there's nothing in the world like it. Nothing. You cannot give me a high or any booze or anything that can match that place where I get into when I'm in my room and all of a sudden the presence of God just filters in. And all of a sudden He begins to warm your insides and He begins to turn your insides out and He begins to love on you. I mean, He wraps arms around. I'm here. What is it that you want? You know why? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You know, it's like my wife, okay? If my wife was to come to me and she wraps her arms around me and she snuggles up next to me, Sister Kathy, and she gets all lovey, you know, and she kisses me and she says, honey, I think I'd like whatever you want, baby. Whatever you want, baby. Do you understand where I'm from?
I don't even have to ask you to give it to me. That's like our Heavenly Father.
Yes. You see, you understand when you draw, you know what I'm saying? Drawing nigh, drawing into His very presence when you get to that place where he just draws you to Him. You see, when you start drawing nigh to him, he'll draw you into. You know, think about it. When you first got saved, you remember the very first. I remember like it was yesterday. I remember that I decided I was going forward. Now I'm in the fifth pew, four pew people in, because Brother Batter, Sister Batter, Bonnie and I can remember sitting in that pew. I can remember making the decision that I was going forward to accept Christ. The next thing I realized, I'm kneeling at the altar. I didn't get over. How did I get over four people or around five pews? I don't remember. You know why? Because when I made the decision that I was going to draw nigh unto him, he drew nigh unto me and got hold of me. That's why he says, when you draw nigh, he'll draw nigh unto you. That's why you can't have anything. You can't have anything between you and him. I'm trying very hard. Psalms. Go with me to Psalms 119. Sister Janie, you should have that one marked because you just gave it to me. She thought she was doing something tonight. She wrote down the Psalms here, and I picked up my sheet and showed her it was the fourth verse down. Psalms 119. And then look at verse 89. Now listen. I'm not just reading verse 89. I want to read you. Listen to what it says here. In verse 89, Psalms 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness to all generations." Wait a minute. How far? To all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinance, for all are thy servants. All what? All that you established on the earth. They continue because he set them in motion. Think about that. They're his servant. They're his servant. Who's his servant? What he created is they are his servant. Do you realize tonight he created you? You are his property. Do you realize that tonight? Do you realize tonight you are the property of Almighty God because you were bought with the blood of Jesus Christ? Whoever lives to make intercession for you. So when you blow it, when you speak, when you let your mouth override you, then the intercessor stands up and say, "It's got to go through me to get to you, Father. And by the time it gets to you, Father, it will have been filtered through my blood." So the only thing you get is the good part of whatever it was, because I filter out everything else. And I only allow the thing that should come to you to come to you. That's what it says. I'm just adding a little bit. That's the hillbilly in me. I can do that. Do you understand when he said where he ever lives to make intercession? In other words, he pleads your case any time it needs to be pleaded. And the beautiful part is he can plead Ecky's, Kyle's, Calvin's, and Frank's case all at the same time and never lose any of us. He can plead our case. And he'll never, none of our cases will ever get lost in the shuffle, because he is the filtering system that lets it filter before it gets to his Father. Go with me to the book of, I want to go there. Go with me to the book of Mark. I'm trying, Bonnie, to get through more than two at a time. Go to the book of Mark, chapter 13. You thought I was going to 16, didn't you? No, going to 13. I like 16, but 13's got some good stuff too. Now, if you're in Mark chapter 13, look at verse 28. And like I say again, mine's a red letter edition. So this is what Jesus is saying. He says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner," now think about this, "so ye in like manner, when you shall see these things," wait a minute, what are you talking about here, Jesus? "When you shall see," verse 24, "but in those days after that tribulation," oh, wait a minute, "when you shall see those things that are pointing toward the tribulation, when you shall see those things, when you shall see these things come to pass, then know that it is nigh, even at the door." What's at the door? You're leaving this place. You know, do you see, he's saying, when you see these things, then liken it unto the fig tree when it starts putting forth its leaves, then you know that these things are beginning to take place. So when you see these things that I've told you about for the tribulation, he said, "Know that it is nigh, even at the door. Verily I say unto you that this generation," what generation? "This generation shall not pass till all these things be done." What are you talking about, Father? The things that I warned you were going to take place, when you begin to see them take place, then know that it's almost going home time. See, all these people are running around like they've got generations and generations. But wait a minute. He said the generation that sees these things come to pass, they're not going to pass away. You see, we've come to the place, people, where Peter said that in the last days they shall say, "Oh, well, you know, it's been this way since your father's fathers, and he hasn't come." Hearing that, "Oh, you know, you're trying to tell me that this is the end, Dan. You're trying to tell me that Jesus is coming. But, you know, we've been seeing all those things. You know, we've been seeing earthquakes in diverse places. We've been seeing famine and pestilence. You know, but he said, when you see all at the same time, then be mindful of the fact how close it is to the coming." Any reason.
No reason is other than they blame it on pollution, or they blame it on the ecosystem being destroyed. But, you know, once you start taking the trees out, and then there's going to be less oxygen and more carbon dioxide, because the trees filter the carbon dioxide to give us oxygen. Yeah. So it perpetually, all of these other things, you know, are taking place even today.
All
glaciers are melting at a faster
birds
rate.
Are dying.
Oh, yeah,
drop it out of the sky. Yeah. Fish are crawling up on the shore to die. Oh, well, that's always been. It's because you people are, it's warming up. It's a proven fact. It's not any warmer now than it was 50 years ago. You know, but yet we give Gore $1.5 million for the peace sign. Why? Because he made a study. Can each one of us make a study and get $1.5 million? If you make a study, you know, you get $1.5 million, then you give the church $150,000, right? Brother Frank, you make a study and you give the church. Listen, before too long, we'll have this church paid for and we'll build a new one.
The scripture says in the end time we'll lose one third of
trees.
The trees.
Green things.
The ash trees.
Yes.
The elm tree is gone.
Gone. What about the bees? What about the bees that pollinate, the bees that pollinate the world? Now we've got killer bees.
Now we got pine trees.
Pines.
They're on their way out.
Yes.
And when was the last time we had an earthquake that shifted the axis of the earth by 6 degrees?
Think about all these things. You know, when you start looking at this thing, people, this is what, when the word starts being made manifest so much, when all these things, this generation, what generation? This generation we're living in. You say, but now wait a minute, Kyle's younger than you are, but listen, we're of the same generation. Generation is a period here to here. He's part of that generation. I'm part of that generation. It doesn't go by age. It goes by this time to that time. That period of time is a generation. 50, 75, 100, only God knows. Right? Howard, you were waving at me?
I'm confused about what you're saying.
What? Come on. Okay.
This started in 1948 when Israel became a nation.
Yes.
And that's the generation they're talking about.
That's you.
He was born after 48 or before.
Look, let me show you, Howard. Let me show you. 1948, right? Isn't that what you said? 1948. Okay. That was the beginning, right? Where's the end?
When this generation passes.
Okay.
Pass over.
Now you see. Now you got it. Now you've got it. Now you see. This generation shall not pass until I come. Did you get it? Did you get it? You said it. This generation shall not pass until you come. What? He said, I am Alpha and I am Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. What? The end is when he says it is done. It is finished. You see, there's going to be people that die from here to the end. Sure. But guess what? The word also says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be called up to meet him. Them in the air, and there we shall ever be with the Lord. What did you tell me today? You were giving me a figure. Bonnie, you give me a figure today. 186 million is the twinkling of an eye. 186 millionth of a blink, of a twinkle. That's how fast you're going to be changed and get out of here. You know, Think about this. I got Kyle and I got Calvin. You're going to have to slap me, brother. I've got both of them. Now, Brother Frank's going to tell them, you guys get ready. We're leaving at 5 o'clock. Okay? Now, Kyle is going to take this long to get ready. Calvin's going to take this long to get ready, and Brother Frank's going to wait this long before he leaves. What's the time period? Thank you. That's it. You don't know. Do you know why? This generation started, and the end we don't know. Only God Himself knows. You know, it doesn't make any difference how long it takes Him to get ready, how long it takes Him to get ready. It's when he says, we're leaving. Now, he might take 45 minutes. He might take 46 minutes. He might take 40 minutes and say, I'm leaving. And they're going to be running to get in the car and put their stuff in to get ready to go, right? But think about this. But when their stuff is in the car, think about it. When their stuff is in the car, and Brother Frank pushes the button, the car's going out of the driveway.
So you gotta be packed beforehand.
And like you wanted to bring up, there were five with oil and five run out. When I don't believe that Brother Frank is going, I don't believe that Brother Frank is going to give any one of them an extra minute when he's ready to go. He's ready to go, right? You've warned, you warned them and told them you were leaving at such and you warned them and told them to pack their stuff. You warned them and told them to be ready. So whenever it's time to go, it's time to go. Listen, over and over and over and over again, he's warned us that he's coming back. And when he gets ready to come back, there's no way he's going to wait another 2 minutes, another 1 minute, or even 1 second. It's ready and it's time. He's going to look at the angel and he says, blow the trumpet, and the angel's going to take a breath, and the Holy Ghost inside of you is going to be quickening you, and you're going to be walking around on your tiptoes practicing rapture exit, huh? Yes. See, you're gone. You know, think about it. I'm trying to get down through the list, baby. Go to Hebrew. Go to Hebrew chapter 4. I've still got 5 minutes. Go to Hebrew chapter 4. Now look at this. See, this is awesome here. This is a good one. I know, I get caught up. It's all awesome. Brother Bob said it's spectacular. He don't say it's awesome. He said it's spectacular. But look at beginning with verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. But let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same manner of what? Unbelief. You know, when we look at the people and we look at the Word said in the last days there will be a great falling away, right? And if we look at the very beginning when the devil tempted Eve, if we look at that, she made the comment, the devil did beguile me. And the Word of God says in Thessalonians, it said that many shall depart from the faith, giving heed seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, right? So you see, the unbelief is rising up even in the churches today because they are getting away from thus saith the Word of God. There's a church over on Ballinger Highway, and you can preach from any book. If it's a good book. Yeah, you can preach on the poem. If you bring a poem book, you can preach out of that poem book. If you bring a song book, you can preach out of the song book. Whatever it is, as long as it is a good book. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. No, I got to ask you for what is the definition of a good book? No. To them. Wow, what's the definition of a good book, Kyle?
To them. Oh, to them. Well, don't ask me that. I know. All I know is in the beginning was the Word, and Word was God.
That's the best book. That's not a good book. That is the best book. That's the best book. But what is it in their estimation? What is in their estimation? What is a good book?
Whatever satisfies your flesh.
Ah, thank you. There it is, right there. Whatever satisfies their flesh is a good book. They can preach whatever satisfies their flesh. It's not what God wants preached. It's what they're preaching which satisfies their conscience, satisfies their flesh. What? Think about it. It's a good book. Why? Because it made me cry, or it made me this, or it made me that. But listen, it didn't convict me of my sin. It didn't make me want to wash my hands. It didn't want to make me repent. It didn't want to make me fall on my face before God and cry out to Him. And that's what he said in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If my people, you see, then when we do what he said we should do, then he'll heal our land. Right? Isn't that what he said?
Those books don't make you repent. Well, not only repent, but admit that you're wrong. Admit that you're in sin.
I got to admit it?
Yes, you have to. But it makes you condone it. If you condone it, you make you feel better, and then it's just a whatever deal.
It just gets me calloused over.
Those books aren't settled in heaven.
No, they're not. But you think about it, though. You know, if it makes me feel good, it's all right. It makes me feel good. It's right? See, this book here, and for Ecky, he had the set there, didn't he, Ecky? I'm picking. So what I'm going to say is, Ecky, what I was preaching Sunday, and your friend got up and left, it didn't make her feel good. It caused her to be uneasy. And she didn't like that feeling. She didn't like that conviction. You see, when none of us like it when the Holy Ghost starts dealing with us, you know? But
when we get rid of what the Holy Ghost is convicting us of, then we're thankful.
Yeah, then.
Then he goes to the next thing.
That's so true.
That's so true.
But I once I get rid of this thing, I have a little breathe. I mean, I at least get to take a breath.
No.
I don't. Why not? Why don't I get to breathe? As long as you are living, right?
That's right. I wanted to read your scripture, Mark, Hebrews 4. In the Message translation.
The Message translation in Hebrew 4.
Yeah, it says the promise of arrival and rest is still there for God's people. God Himself is at rest, and at the end of the journey, we'll surely rest with God. So let's keep it at. And eventually arrive at the place of rest, not drop out through some sort of disobedience.
Unbelief
is the same as disobedience.
Yes. Unbelief is the same as disobedience, isn't it? You know what? Hey, Bonnie, I made it all the way through. Praise the Lord. I made it. You made it.